14th chapter of Mark's gospel. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. Remember, there was a crowd there. There were several people there. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do it them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. And verily I say unto you that wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And of course, God has the record of all the people, all the numbers of people that have read exactly what I got through reading, and God has the number of how many have not only read it but preached this message, and it's happening again. I want to take a few moments today to share a message that I would call How to Give a Timeless Gift. How to give a timeless gift. How to give a gift that keeps on giving. So many things we give. So many things that we give in Christmas time or whatever the season might be. Presents that are broken, presents that are not the right color, presents that are received and presents that maybe are not received. But as we look into the life of Jesus, the dark shadows of Judas' betrayal is there. The agony of Gethsemane is just a short time away. The mock trial of Jesus, the suffering and the death of Calvary, all of this at this time is facing Jesus. And on top of that, religion seeks to arrest and to destroy Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There was a darker time as he faced Calvary, but I mean the shadows are about as dark as they can be because he knows what's coming and you can see on every hand. In those dark moments and those dark days, a very sacred and precious thing happened. I've learned to appreciate that, and I've learned to look for it. In the darkest night, God has a light. In the most difficult situation, God has someone or a word or a song. I remember my wife and I remember one evening when a bird began to sing outside of our bedroom window, more beautifully than I've ever heard a bird sing. And the Lord brought again to her memory the verse that has been given about the time of the singing of birds. And it was a little bird, that creature of God that breathed continued hope into our hearts concerning the full healing and manifestation of our youngest daughter, Janet. So, in your most difficult moment, God has a voice, God has a letter, God has a television program, or God has a radio broadcaster, God has something from His Word that gives you hope and does something for you that nothing else can do. In those dark hours, those dark days, there was a sacred and a precious event that happened. I never cease to be amazed how God uses the little people, the quiet people, not just those that you would expect to say something or do something or give something, but this nameless woman brought Jesus a very, very special gift. It's just like she comes out of nowhere and she's there. And really, this gift was as near a perfect gift as we'll ever know outside of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All of us would love to give a perfect gift. All of us would love to give a timeless gift. And let's look at some of the insights that are here. I can only touch a few of these because this story has just exploded in my heart this week. First of all, her gift was a timely gift, on time, given to bless, to encourage, to anoint Jesus before the dark ordeal of Calvary. This gift came at a very special time, just like certain special cards come through the mailbox, cards of encouragement, cards expressing thankfulness, or a gift. This week we received such a beautiful gift with scriptures all over it that came to us from out of state for our Janet. It's just interesting how little things can mean so much when you're going through the valley. So her gift was a timely gift, right on time. Her gift was given in public. And I know there's a lot of thoughts about this. Some people say, well, you should never give in public. And everyone has a different thought. Really, the bottom line of this, whether it's given in public or given in private, it's a thing of the heart with God. Whether you give a private gift or give a public gift or come whatever you do, it's a thing of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And God knows the heart. This woman did not do this thing in a corner. In front of a number of people, there she is. And she gives her gift in public. And it comes from her heart. Another interesting aspect of this was that her gift was a voluntary gift. She gave of her own free will. Jesus had not given an offering teaching about breaking an alabaster box and pouring precious anointing oil over him. That had not happened. No one was doing what she did. It was different than anything else that seemed to be going on. Everyone else seemed to be going in a different way. But in this woman's heart, there was a voluntary gift that was prompted by the Holy Spirit of God. A voluntary gift. You know, it's just good when God speaks to you to do something. I said it's good when God speaks to your heart to do something. Very precious family that was very active in this church. They've both gone on to be the Lord. They lived on a ranch up in Denton. I remember that he expressed this to me on a number of occasions, and he took care of it before his passing on. He said, I want our, it was a combination of a little ranch and farm, about 110 acres. He said, I want this to go to help youth and young people. And he was interested in the school and all the things that we're doing. And so when he passed on, there was a part of his inheritance that was the first gift that we laid aside for the building of the new gym and school. It won't build all of it, only would build a fraction of it. But it was the first gift, the first large gift that was given in that regard. And you know, even though it was a costly gift, it was given at the right time, and it's been a blessing, and it will continue to be a blessing. And so we look at this woman. It was a love gift. It was a love gift. It's not how big the gift is. It's what comes from the heart. I mean, this was this woman's heart in a box, if I could reverently say it. It's a costly gift. It was a love gift. She loved Jesus with all of her heart. And it mattered not to her that she was giving away a year's wages, at least as far as we can determine. You know, love really can be foolish sometimes in the natural, but it was a love gift. She loved Jesus with all of her heart. It was something that from her heart she had to do. It's amazing. We've had some very interesting things happen over a period of time. It's interesting when you see something that you just know beyond the shadow of a doubt. This is a love gift. And it was a love gift from her heart. You know, the Bible said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. I mean, if you have a parent's heart, and you can be foolish with that, true, but If you have a parent's heart, you like to give something good. You don't give away a rattlesnake or a cobra or a poisonous insect of something of that nature. The Bible said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things? How much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things? I tell you, my friend, it was a love gift. And you know, really, every time we bring a tithe or an offering, whatever we bring to God, it should just flow from a heart of love. Never just be matter of fact about giving. Giving's a big deal. It's special. It's something that is so very precious to the heart of God. This was a love gift. But as I went further, I noticed that her gift was not wasted. Now, an interesting thing was said. You know, religion said, now this money should have been, this should have been sold, and this should have been given to the poor. Now, the question I've always wanted to ask those characters, why haven't you already done it? It's amazing how folks always have the answer for someone else. And Jesus turned around and in essence, I'm not stepping out of the context of this thing, but Jesus said, anytime you want to give to the poor, go ahead and do it. In fact, I think he probably said, why haven't you already done it? And while I was thinking about that, it came to me that anytime you give a gift to Jesus, it does not take away from the poor. Anytime you give to a ministry, church, that's reaching out to help people, anytime you give to Jesus or whatever God prompts you to give, it never takes away from the poor when you give to Jesus because it's going to get there. Whatever you give has already, there's a part of that that's gone to the poor this week. We bless the poor every week. We feed the poor every week. I see the poor being fed. I'm in and around these ministries. We help the poor. We feed the poor. We do things to help people every week. But isn't that something religion, you know, they're always just, well, you know, this should have been sold and given to the poor. We just don't agree with this. That's never been done this way before. This woman is just completely off the wall. But Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, let her alone. Why trouble her? She hath wrought a good work. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. He said, my physical presence will not always be here. You see, she sees the moment. She sees the time. She knew there was a timing there, and she obeyed the Spirit of God in her spirit, and her gift was not wasted. And I want to just tell you something. Your gift is never wasted when you give it to Jesus. Things may not go like you want them to go, or you may have a disappointment or whatever. But, you know, always give from the heart. Always give in faith believing. Always give as unto the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do it as unto the Lord. And then don't be bitter about your gift. Don't be possessive or jealous about your gift. Release it and give it to the Lord and watch God go to work. Another insight, her gift meant so much to Jesus. What would you give to have heard the words of Jesus following some kind of a gift or response that they have wrought a good work on me? Not a good work on this church or any other church and or any other ministry, but you have wrought a good work on me. You did something for me. You did something for me. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't get any closer to it than that. A love gift and a person did what they could. You know, there's some gigantic gifts that are given to charities and all kinds of projects. But you know, friend, it's not just the size of the gift. It's what you have left after you give. This woman gave her best, her all. And when she got through, her little house was just about cleaned out because something of great value had been given. And it was not only given, it was poured out. And the world said, waste. Now you can spend $50 on a ticket to a sporting event. or $100. And I just ran out of hearing figures about the Super Bowl when that was present. There were people that gave $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. It probably, no one will ever know the bottom line on that. And the world said, boy, they sure know how to live, don't they? But someone write a check to the cause of Christ, and this world system just can't handle that. Well, I like what missionary evangelist Wayne Meyer said, do you give in while you're living so you'll be a knowing where it's going? And I think that means so much. Her gift meant so much to Jesus. Listen again to the words of Jesus. She hath wrought a good work, and she hath done what she could do. She did what she could do when she could do it at the right time. And then there was a final insight there that her gift was indeed a timeless gift, and that's where we really started out, how to give a timeless gift, a gift that keeps on living. As many times as I've preached this, I still read it, and I wished I could just sit down and have a private session with the Lord. Because Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, red, yellow, black, white, Africa, Asia, Caribbean, U.S., North America, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. That woman is in heaven right now, and an angel said they're doing it again. They're doing it again. They're preaching it again. We checked something on the internet the other day. I was getting some insight on something, and I forget how many thousands of hits, I guess that's what they call it, had come for that one piece of information. I said, you mean they can number that? It's amazing through computers. You're in a store. You run a card through. And how that all comes out right, it's amazing with all the other people and shoppers and cards and so on. So what Jesus was saying was her gift was a timeless gift. We've been blessed with a lot of gifts, a lot of precious gifts. The greatest gift is your love and your respect. And I thank God for that. We don't take it lightly. Remember a few years ago, one of our businessmen, he said, Pastor, I want to have lunch with you. Well, we got that time and it finally happened. We drove out to a Western store and he says, do you have any boots? Well, I had a pair of boots, but they weren't much. And he went right to the rack and he said, I want to buy you a pair of boots. And he went to the higher dollar bracket there. Beautiful ostrich boots. And he was a very persistent man, so I knew I might as well just let him do what he wanted to do. So we got the boots. And I looked at him after we got through and I said, why did you do this? Because I've known him very well through the years, but I didn't know him that well then, just known him for a few weeks or months. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. My life was hell before I came to this church. Confusion, marriages, divorce, heartache. And he said, I found reality. And I found stability. He said, my life has been changed. And he said, this pair of boots is the least I can do to say thank you. Well, those boots have been resold 3 times and are still in my closet. And they've been through a lot of things. But those boots, I looked at them the other day and just wore them all day long, remembering a very special gift. I just want to encourage us during these days, let's be thankful that we're able to give praise and worship and prayer and God bless you, an encouragement to lift up someone's hands, to fill in the hedge and make up a gap. Let's thank God for the priceless privilege of being able to encourage one another and help one another. Yes, it's wonderful to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's wonderful to see all the things that God does. But Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you have love one to another." Oh, we need that in the body of Christ today. That love, that appreciation, that thankfulness for those that have made a difference in our life. So many of you in this room today, you've made a difference in our life. You've made a difference in this church. We would not be here except for the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of people that believed in us. Even if you've come lately, you got here just in time. Joy and I daily, we almost say it at the same time, how we thank God for those that have loved us and lifted up our hands. But you know, that's what we do for one another. And this is the way the world's going to know. There's one blessing that's come out of 9/11. We discovered what makes one religion tick. We found out the evil roots. We found out the terrible things. Not that all who subscribe to that religion are, because we know some wonderful people. But now we see that all over the world something has erupted. There's an evil cancer that is all over the world. A religion that is built on hate. And I believe there's only one way to heaven, and Jesus Christ and the salvation of God is the only way there. But we don't hate those that are not born again. And we're not trying to kill those that do not subscribe to our value system and our beliefs. But we understand, and it's documented material, ladies and gentlemen, it's not being mean-spirited, that there's an evil cancer all over the world. There's a network of people whose entire religion is built on hate. And I don't mind giving my life if I can just take out 10 of you or destroy a building. I don't care what the feelings of a family or families or children or parents may be. I just want to hurt those infidels and take them out. Oh, I thank God that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, the salvation of God is loving people. Loving the unlovable. Taking time to stop dying on the cross and look down and say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As the stones were beating out Stephen's life, Stephen picked up on the same spirit and said the same thing. "They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Forgive them. Have mercy on them." Oh, I tell you, I thank God for this woman. Where did she come from? What motivated her? What got into her? What happened in the heart and the mindset of this woman? She loved so much that she was willing to do whatever was in her hands to do just to say, "I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus."